When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you a little bit about the DetailerInnerCircle.com. If you are really looking at 2020, like you want to take your business to the next level, you need some marketing, some scripts, some help to market your business and get some serious clients and make 2020 your best year ever, I highly suggest checking out the DetailerInnerCircle.com. It's something I'm a part of. I partner up with a brilliant marketing mind, and we do this thing called the Detailer Inner Circle. So you can find out more information at the DetailerInnerCircle.com. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 417 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm Jimbo, your host. Today, we have Joe Bessia. Oh, did I get that right?
Bedessa.
Dang it. I think, whatever. I knew I was going to mess it up. Anyway, welcome to the club where everyone messes up your last name. That's the club I'm in. Joe, welcome to the Auto Detailing Podcast. Sorry for butchering your last name there.
That's okay. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. And Joe is in Largo, Florida, which I just learned is West Central Florida.
Yes.
Got it. And Joe's been in the game for about 23 years and mainly has found, or has carved out a niche for himself in the classics. So everything from, repairing OEM paint that's original to engines and all that. And I can't wait to get into all that. But Joe, it probably didn't start there. So why don't you take us back to the beginning and kind of tell us how you got into detailing and, frankly, why detailing?
Well, I grew up around cars. My grandfather had a small used car lot. My dad, my uncle had a body shop. My cousin was a painter, and I was just always in that environment. The time came for me to get a job. I didn't want to work with my family. And a friend of mine was working at the local car wash. He got me a job there, and I started washing cars.
And then how did it progress from a car wash? Because it seems like from a car wash to working on classics and kind of restoring classics, that's a big jump.
Yeah, well, the car wash that I worked at, it was called Magic Car. And it was a detail shop, but they had a lot of car washing going on, a lot of volume. And I would say it was probably the way that place was set up was it was like a boutique detail shop before that was kind of a thing. It was kind of a special place, to be honest. So they were really heavy on the fundamentals of how to wash a car. Proper techniques, things like that. And, as you proved yourself and wanted to learn more, eventually you became a detailer. And, that's what I did. And, started detailing cars and I just loved it. I remember my first day. It was a Saturday. They were slammed. I think I worked like 10 hours straight, no lunch. But the way I felt when I was on my way home at the end of the day, I was like, man, this is a great feeling. Like just kind of reflecting on the day. It was really good. And I think that's kind of where the bug bit me.
Isn't that so awesome when you figure out something that like maybe you didn't know, or you just, like you said, you get done with a long day or a super busy day and you're almost like, have more energy after you finish than when you started. And it's like, whoa,
oh, yeah.
That's like, it's like awesome once you realize that,
Yeah. I worked there for, I don't know, a few years. They also had a dealership account at a Mercedes dealer. Eventually, I went there, was detailing there. Then I was like the night manager at one point. That business had gotten sold. I worked for the new owner, and then it kind of fell apart. Then I, one of my friends that was also working there, he was another detailer. He was working at another shop. So he got me a job there. And then that was like, that's when everything kind of got real. I'm not going to name that shop, but, Magic Car was kind of like high school to me. And then this other place was like college.
Got it.
They had 8 detailers working there. They had a body shop. They had multiple dealer accounts, but we weren't doing like line work by any means. It was like heavy stuff. You know, they'd give us a car, we'd go around it, inspect it, look for paint work, you know, paint work got sanded, you know, blend work into the factory paint to match the peel, you know, we're sanding out jam edges, we're pulling apart interiors. So really extensive stuff. And I worked there for probably 5 or 6 years or something. And on top of the dealer accounts they had multiple guys bringing in classic cars, you know, guys that flipped them. And I ended up doing that kind of stuff. So as time went on, I was doing all the classics there. And, you know, there was more and more classics coming in, but the bread and butter of the shop was the dealer stuff. So they would always kind of get pushed to the side. Eventually, I built a relationship with those customers and, you know, they're like, hey, you know, why don't you come to our place and do some of our stuff that we can't get in here. We want you to do our cars anyways. So I was like, okay, I saw it as an opportunity. And I was working at that shop during the day and then going to the other customers' shops at night, working till like 9, 10 o'clock. And I did that for a while. And it was just kind of burning the candle at both ends. And I found myself in a crossroads where I was like, okay, I got to make a decision. Do I want to go out on my own and do all these classics or stay where I'm at? And, you know, I had to choose progression. So that's what I did. I started working out of the trunk of my car until I could eventually afford a shop. And things just kind of took off from there.
And how long ago was that? Was that the 23? Have you been on your own for 23 years?
No. Okay. 23 years was like when I first started.
Got it. Okay.
At that car wash.
Got
it. I've been in business for myself since 2007.
Awesome. So. Okay. Wow. Interesting. So I started in 2008, and maybe it was different for you in Florida, but everyone was telling me because of the financial crash and the recession that it was such a horrible time to start a business. And after hearing that story, I can only imagine, like, you know, the pushback, or maybe not even pushback from people, but kind of like the mental dialogue going on in your own head of like, do I go out on my own right now or do I just stay at this shop? Like, was that a tough decision because of the market at the time, or was it more so just deciding if you wanted to do it on your own or not?
Well, it was right before things got bad with the economy. So it really wasn't a factor.
Okay.
But like 1 year in, you know, a lot of my customers went under and I pretty much lost like 50% of my clients.
Okay.
And I kind of had to adjust, start taking in more retail customers, you know, other dealer accounts, things like that.
Got it.
And eventually, as things got better with the economy, I got back to where I originally wanted to be. So things have been going pretty strong for the past, I'd say, since probably 2009-10, things really started to improve.
Got it. And so how long did that take from kind of working out of the trunk of your car to getting a shop? How long was that kind of?
It was relatively quick. It was maybe like 3 months.
Okay. Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. So bring us up to speed to today. What is your business look like today compared to what it was when you first moved into a shop?
The workload has definitely gotten heavier. As time has gone on, the demands of my customers have increased, and that's kind of how I've gotten to where I'm at with how I do things.
So talk about that. Tell us how do you do things, or what kind of makes you different?
Well, for instance, a customer will bring me a car, we'll go around it. And again, like I said, a lot of my customers, they flip classic cars. So they're going to the big auctions, Barrett Jackson, Meekum, things like that. So the car's got to be perfect inside out and upside down. So, you know, the paint, whatever it needs, you know, wet sandings, always a must on these old cars. They're all repaints or they're partial repaints. The undercarriages, you know, they're, some of them are 30, 40 years of grease, dirt, you know, all that's going to be taken care of. So I had to get a lift. The engine compartments, you know, it's not like detailing an engine on a regular car. You open the hood, everything's plastic. It's relatively simple, where on these cars, it's like a whole new job under there. You know, everything is painted a different color. You know, they're almost like its own little work of art. You've got multiple things to deal with. You know, you've got to paint things. You've got metals to polish. You know, certain shades of black. You know, maybe this component is a satin finish where another component is supposed to be a gloss finish, and you know, you can get really in depth. Sometimes you'll spend 2-3 days just in an engine compartment. And the situations that I've been put in because of the demands of my customers, I've gained a lot of experience like that. It's always pushed me. So you've got to learn, you've got to do research online. Okay. What did this look like when it was new in 1967? Because that's what I have to make it look like. Over time, some of these cars, you know, they get messed with, you know, they get the wrong hoses put on them. Some of them get modified, you know, they've got the wrong valve covers. So, you know, usually I'll have my customer source out, you know, the correct things that need to be replaced. They get sent to me. I'll change all that stuff. And we just make them look as original as possible. Same thing with the undercarriages. You know, once you get everything cleaned, it's like, okay, what needs to be done? Okay, the frame needs to be painted. The shocks are the wrong color. Those need to be addressed. You know, the bottom of the engine needs to be repainted. The springs, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And sometimes it's like, okay, well, where do you stop? The rabbit hole gets pretty deep on some of these jobs.
So that's a great point. How do you know when to stop? Like at what point does it cross? Because it seems like you're in pretty deep communication with your client the whole time about their car, right? From the time they acquire it to the time it leaves your shop and to go for sale wherever. So where is that kind of done in the initial assessment of the car, of like where the client wants to take it, or like where do you stop?
Sometimes you drive yourself crazy trying to figure out where to stop. It depends sometimes on the budget of the customer, you know, because it's also about their profit margins at the end of the day. Sometimes it's a special car and they're like, just do everything. It's a communication thing. Again, it's like, well, you know, everything looks good, but the gas tank is kind of old and cruddy looking. Sometimes they'll replace things like that as well. I'm not a mechanic, so I won't do that kind of stuff. But again, it's based on the budget, you know, the value of the car, that kind of stuff.
Got it. So, and that would be kind of assessed pre-detail, yeah. and probably, I would assume, as you go along in some situations, right?
Yeah, pre-inspection, you know, go over it with the customer, and then also on the fly, you know, you'll find something like, hey, you know, do you want to do this? Do you want to go that far? And, you know, they either say yes or no, and you just kind of move forward from that point.
What is the average amount of time that you're spending on any particular car?
Usually a week, 2 weeks sometimes. It depends on the condition of the vehicle, obviously. Some of these cars, they're older restorations, so everything needs to be addressed, but it's not like, you know, the undercarriage has never been touched ever, you know, through its lifespan. Those cars obviously take less time. You know, you're just kind of going through and refreshing an old restoration, where you get a car where it might have been repainted, the interior, some of it's been replaced, but underneath the car's never been touched, and it just, you know, it looks terrible. Those are the ones that really take a lot of time. You know, you'll sit there for a day just scraping old grease and undercoating off before you can even really see what's there. You know, it can get crazy.
Jeez. And you're doing all this by yourself, right? I would imagine that trust between your customers and their cars and all that is paramount. So I would imagine that beyond just how difficult hiring in general is, there's kind of a level of trust that needs to be there as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to find people with, you know, a niche experience, you know. A lot of the experience that I've gained has been from, you know, the cars that have been put in front of me.
Sure.
You know,
it's right. Like
you're constantly learning on the fly, you know, especially with the paints too. Like, you know, you get a new car, you can go online, talk to other detailers, like, hey, you know, how's this paint react? What's the best polishing method for this paint, pads, compounds, what have you, where you're getting a car that you don't know what kind of paint's on it, how long ago it was painted. You know, they're all different. So if there's no reference there, it's like, okay, it's touch and go, you know?
Right.
And that alone will give you a lot of experience. And I'd say 95% of these cars they're all full wet sand jobs. You know, they've got orange peel. There's dirt in the paint. There's, you know, all kinds of stuff going on, lots of scratches. So just a regular correction is like, you can't even go that route. You know, you kind of have to create your own surface.
Right.
And then move forward from that point.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, crazy. Is there, man, that's insane. Do you have a favorite classic to work on?
Yeah, the stuff that I grew up with, like the posters on my wall as a kid. People ask me this all the time. Well, what's your favorite old car? And sometimes the answer I give them is a little weird. I'm like, okay, maybe like an 84 Corvette because my dad had one when I was growing up, you know. Right. It doesn't make sense to them. But the things that are nostalgic to me are the things that I enjoy working on. I do work on a lot of Corvettes. I'd say if I had to choose any old muscle car, it'd probably be a 67 Corvette for sure.
Got it. And how do you, is the word of mouth kind of your main way of getting more customers, or do you have like a group of customers that are constantly flipping cars so you really don't need more customers? Like, what does that look like?
Well, most of my customers I've had from the beginning, and I've built a good relationship with those people. They're like friends to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, word of mouth mainly, you know, they tell people and then those people tell people. So I've been lucky in that aspect. I haven't had to do much advertising or anything like that.
Got it.
Once word gets out there, especially if they have a special need for a for the work that needs to be done to a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's nobody else to do it. So, you know, but I still get new customers all the time. And I've been pretty lucky to where I can kind of pick and choose what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
you know, coatings, since I started to get into coatings, that's kind of opened up things for me a little bit more. So I'm more open to doing things for the general public, you know, your average daily driver stuff, that kind of thing. So I've been more welcoming to that, you know, retail based. Because the majority of my customers buy and sell. So, you know.
So you are kinda, coatings have kind of opened up a whole different market for you then, or the current, because the current customers probably aren't putting coatings on, right?
No, they are. Once I started to get into coatings, I was able to sell it to, you know, my prior customers. You know, here's this new thing we can do to your car once we've done all this work. They see it as an investment, just like your regular guy driving his car who loves it and wants to protect it. You know, the cars look better. They can use that as a sales tool at the sale. You know, and if they don't sell the car, it doesn't need to come back and get refreshened up.
Because, got it.
You know, the coating's protecting it at the auction. You know, it's getting wiped down a million times by dirty towels.
Right.
You know, so.
Got it.
You know, they see the advantages of that as well. So.
Got it. What do you see kind of next for either the detailing industry or your role kind of in your area in the next couple, 2 to 5 years? Do you think coatings are going to become an even bigger part of your business? Or where do you kind of see it going?
I think coatings are definitely going to be a bigger part of my business. I mean, it'd be stupid not to want to go in that direction. It's very profitable. I think the technology is just getting better faster and faster, which is great. Detailing's hot right now. You know, there's a lot of detailers in this area. A lot of them are good. So I just see it continuing to grow,
mm-hmm.
you know. And another thing is, as long as I've been detailing, I've seen that we're finally starting to get what we're worth, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
Because I remember the old days, you know, the $100 full detail, you know, and you know as well as I do, you spend all this time on a car and, you know, you feel like you're not getting what your time's worth. But I think finally we're getting our due, you know. And that's great for the industry.
Yep.
Cause we work hard, you know,
for sure. For sure. What advice, say there's someone out there and they're interested in, or they kind of want to nail down this niche of working on classics and stuff like that. What advice would you give them to get what advice would you give them to get into the industry of classics?
That's kind of a tough question. It just kind of fell into my lap the way I got into it. You know, the classics kind of just started to gravitate toward me. I would say, you know, go to car shows, talk to people, build relationships. That's always important, is to build relationships with customers, long-term relationships. You know, go to classic car auctions, talk to people. You know, it's kind of hard to say where to meet these people, to be honest. Like I said, I was fortunate to get into it the way I did. So yeah.
Got it. Okay. Right on, man. It's been awesome. If anyone wants to kind of connect with you, maybe pick your brain a little bit more, how could they get a hold of you? How could they follow you on social? How can they get a hold of you?
You can email me, colorworksproject@gmail.com. Colorworks on Facebook. Joe Bedessa on Facebook. I have two Facebook accounts. One I don't use anymore. So if you want to contact me through my personal Facebook, it's the one with all the cars. So
got it. And is there anything else that we didn't cover that you'd like to cover, or make sure it comes across?
No, I think we touched everything. Yeah.
Awesome, man.